Thanks for listening to the Velocity Church podcast. We hope that this message encourages you, inspires you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Now, here's the message.
Everybody doing good? Glad to be at church today. Amen. We're glad to have you here on this Palm Sunday weekend. Palm Sunday, come on, celebrate, man. We got Palm Sunday today and then next weekend, Easter weekend. I want to remind you too, this coming Friday, we're going to have an online Good Friday service for you to tune in. And so just want to remind you of that. You can go to our YouTube channel. We're going to post the link in loop as well where you can join in on that. And another thing too to mention, over this next week, we're going to be posting daily content in loop in the Journey to the Cross channel. And so I think that's so helpful for you to go. And again, just want to encourage you guys to, if your family and friends or however you want to do it, whatever works best for you, to just take some time, be intentional to take some scripture and just look at it this week together, even if it's over dinner, just have some kind of discussion as we move toward Good Friday and then into the weekend, Easter Sunday. But how many of you know that you can't just celebrate the resurrection without knowing what Jesus did on the cross? Like you've got to feel the weight of Good Friday to get to Easter Sunday and to Resurrection Sunday, to where you go, Jesus is alive, and it's something to be excited about. He paid the price of sin. And so today we're going to be in Matthew chapter 26. If you brought your Bibles, you can turn there. It'll be up on the screen as well. In Matthew 26, this is week two of a short little mini-series that we're doing here called Journey to the Cross, where we're looking at these moments that lead up to Jesus dying, laying his life down on the cross, and then he'd be raised to life. The last week we looked at where Jesus washes feet. He washes the disciples' feet, including the one who betrayed him. You remember who that is? Judas, right? The betrayer. And we're going to kind of see him again towards the very end. We don't see Judas specifically mentioned, but we're going to see that the hour is at hand. And Jesus right here, where we're going to be looking at today, is in this garden called Gethsemane, and he's praying this prayer. And he's feeling this incredible weight and pressure and just extreme tension, and the weight is just on his shoulders that he's bearing. And some of you, maybe you're here today and you're going through a difficult season of life, or you're dealing with deep anxious thoughts or worry or whatever it is that you're dealing with today. And I just want you to know this, the simple overarching big idea truth is, no matter what you're going through, Jesus knows exactly what that's like. It says in Hebrews that we don't serve a great high priest who cannot sympathize in our weaknesses, who is tested in all things yet without sin. And so Jesus can sympathize with us. And the Bible says that he's at the right hand of the Father interceding for the saints. Jesus knows what you're dealing with. If you've ever been betrayed by a friend, Jesus knows what that feels like. If you've ever lost a loved one or dealt with a tragedy, Jesus knows what that feels like. He's been there and he felt it. You know, what's interesting is he never leaned into his deity to make things easier on himself. But he experienced it all. And you're going to see that here today when we read here in Matthew 26. As he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, you're going to see very clearly, like, Jesus is dealing with some serious, serious weighty things, and deep, deep anxiety is what he's really experiencing here. And so Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, here's what it says. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. Now, Gethsemane, the word means oil press. And so where Jesus is right now, he's in this garden of olives. And what they would do is they would pick these olives and then they would press them to extract the oil. And they had this like big stone that they would roll in circles, and they'd crack the outer layer, and then they would extract as much oil as they can. And so the picture that we have here is Jesus, he's in the garden, right? And as he's in the garden, you have the Son of God, the Messiah, the anointed one. Now, what does oil represent in Scripture? The anointing. So Jesus is in this garden filled with olives that are going to be extracted, and Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, the Messiah, the anointed one, is in this garden. It says in Luke that as he's praying, that blood begins to seep through the pores of his skin. And this is actually a medical condition that's super rare, but it actually happens under certain circumstances of deep, deep stress, deep anxiety. So Jesus is feeling the weight of that here in this moment. And what is he doing? He's going over there to pray. And taking with him, it says in verse 37, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. The two sons of Zebedee, it's James and John, his two closest friends, along with Peter. And so one of the points I want you to see here in this is when Jesus is dealing with anxious thoughts and deep, deep pressure, what does he do first? As he's going to pray, notice he doesn't isolate himself, but he brings his friends with him. And one of the keys to know is this, is that when you're dealing with trouble, seasons and situations and trials, to not isolate yourself. And I think men, sometimes we have a little bit of a problem with this because we're like, I'm tough. Like, I can do it myself. I'm going to just throw my shoulders back and I'm going to just barrel through this thing, right? But Jesus didn't do that, right? And none of us are stronger than Christ. Okay, he is the lion and the lamb. And none of us are stronger than Jesus. And so Jesus brought his three friends along. But also notice this, he brought three disciples. He didn't bring the whole crew. Right? He didn't bring the whole crew. Not all of them came. His three inner circle, the ones he could trust when he was in it, when he was in the thick of it, when he was dealing with it. And so you have Peter, James, and John. He goes on to say, then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death, remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So what is Jesus's first response? It's like, yeah, we know this, right? Whenever we're in trouble, what should we do? Pray. We go to our Father and pray. But I think that sometimes the reason we don't do this is because we feel like if we're not in a place where we can deliver a prayer, you know, in such eloquence and perfection, I think what's happened, so many times we've seen the old movies of Jesus where he's blonde-haired and blue-eyed, right? Blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus from Switzerland who speaks in King James. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen, and so we're like, well, unless I've got this perfect prayer, right? Unless I say the exact right things, then I can't. And what we see here is that Jesus is very vulnerable with the Father. And we're going to read that here in just a moment. But he goes in prayer. And here's one of the keys. Prayer is not our last resort. It's our first response. It's not the last resort. And you know what's interesting is like the society and the world we live in today, I've heard this kind of like chatter out there. It's like, oh, we've prayed enough. Like, you know, we've done our part doing prayers. No, prayer is not the last resort. That is our first response. That's the go-to. It's like, no, we're going to you. We're going to the Father. We're going to go to him. If Jesus needed to pray in times of trouble, you and I need to pray, right? We need to pray. We need to go to our Father in prayer. And what does he say? My soul is very sorrowful to death. He says, remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. See, legalistic people, this like rubs them the wrong way. Because they're like, just toughen up. Just throw your shoulders back. You're supposed to be strong. Right? Jesus is being very real with what he feels. If there's any other way. If there's any, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. See, your Father, your heavenly Father, like a good father, wants to know where his kids are at. And so, parents, we know this, like, good moms and dads, they want to know, like, where's my son? Where's my daughter? What's going on? What's happening here? And in the same way, our heavenly Father, he wants to know where you're at. And let me just tell you this, he can handle the honest prayer. It's what he wants. It's the vulnerability. I don't get it. I don't get it, God. I don't know why this is happening. Have you ever prayed those types of prayers? With some people, it's like, we can't go there. We got to just throw our shoulders back and throw some scripture on it and move on. It's like, you got to be vulnerable with the Heavenly Father. You got to tell him what you're feeling. This is what Jesus does. He says, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Meaning this, this is what I feel right now, but I'm going to choose to align my will with your will. I'm going to align my will with your will. And so Jesus is putting it all out there, and he's definitely offending legalistic Christians in Brenham. And he came to the disciples, and what does he find them doing? Sleeping. Oh, man. Have you ever had a situation before, and it's like, oh, my gosh, this happened, and it happened in my life, and I can't believe this happened, and oh, my gosh, what's going on? And your friends are sleeping. They're like, where are y'all at? You're not feeling what I'm feeling right now? Because I'm feeling it. Like, and y'all aren't feeling what I'm feeling. Right? His friends are sleeping. His three most, like, closest friends, inner circle, they're out, they're snoring. And Jesus is literally, blood is seeping out of the pores of his skin. He's dealing with this and this pressure and this weight. And he said to who? Peter. It's interesting, there's three there, but he tells Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? Peter's a leader. And he looks to Peter and he says, you couldn't stay awake 1 hour? He goes on. And he is just, right before this passage, he's just told Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times, Peter. He's like, no, I won't. It's like, nope, yeah, yes, you will. 3 times. And he goes on. He says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And for the second time, he went away and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And we see this language over and over. Jesus is saying, this cup, if this cup cannot pass. And what does the cup represent? In Isaiah 51, it talks about drinking from the cup of his wrath. The cup Jesus is referring to is what's in that cup. It's the wrath of God. And when Jesus is saying, let this cup pass, he's saying, let your wrath pass. It's like, Lord. Because here's what you need to know is that in the moment when Jesus lays his life down and dies on the cross, the Father turns his face away from the Son. And he experiences the wrath. And Jesus is saying, if there's any other way, if there's any, we can let this cup pass. The Bible talks about, and I believe it's in Romans, it talks about the cup as well. And being, have you ever just thought this, like, you know, you see people who are like, oh, you're doing so well in life, and they're not even, like, they don't love God, they don't love the Lord. Maybe they're like, you know, Christians are non-Christians and non-believers, but they just seem to be thriving. And you're just like, how are y'all being so blessed? Have you ever been there before and seen that? And just like, you know, the Bible talks about it. It's like in Romans, it says that at the end, all they're doing in the day of judgment is they're storing up wrath to drink. That ultimately, it's just wrath being stored. And so it's like, oh, it's the passive wrath of God where people seemingly are just getting away with stuff until the active wrath of God in the end when they'll drink from the cup. And so here's the options here when it comes to the cup is either you let Jesus drink the cup or you drink the cup. Those are the two options that we have. And let me just tell you, like, Jesus, this anxiousness and this weight that he's carrying is because of the wrath he's going to experience. You're saved by God, and you're saved from his wrath. People don't like to talk about wrath anymore. It's like, no, don't talk about wrath in the Bible, please. Please, don't talk about, no, just talk about love. Don't talk about, you know, his wrath and his love go hand in hand. Don't talk about the wrath of God. Please don't talk about the wrath of God. It's interesting, like the society and the culture our world, you know, we live in, is it's like everybody demonstrates their own wrath. Like people feel like I get my wrath. And you know, as was, like, everybody's for, like, justice, justice here, justice here, justice here, except God gets no justice. You're supposed to just wink at it and turn the cheek and just tolerate sin. Jesus took the punishment for us. He was the substitute. And he drank of the cup so that you wouldn't have to, so that I wouldn't have to. We give our lives to him. We give him our lives. We commit our lives and we say, I believe, Jesus, I turn from my old ways. I repent of my sins and I choose to follow you. I'm going to give my life to Christ. And you let Jesus drink the cup that he drank for you. Amen. The other option is we drink it in the end. And so again, It says in verse 44, so leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. So it's three times he's done this, praying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And who is that? That's Judas, right? And Jesus is now, he's about to be arrested and he's about to be taken. But here's what I want you to see here this morning is that if Jesus had to pray, we have to pray. And that's such a simple concept, but it's like, if Jesus had to go to the Heavenly Father, man, you and I need to go to our Heavenly Father. Amen. We need to go to Him when we're dealing with issues and pray. And He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from His kids. We seek Him in that wholeheartedly. In the end, the two options that we talked about here, and again, nobody likes talking about God's wrath. Nobody likes the wrath of God. It's like, nope, off subject, don't talk about that. I'll share this little analogy I shared earlier in the service before, but it's, you know, when you're talking about God's wrath, let me just ask you this question. If you're, let's say you're driving to an elementary school. Let's just say Krause. I went to Krause. Anybody in here went to Krause Elementary? Nobody? Man, there's a lot of B.O.B.s in here. Is that what it's called? B.O.B.s? Yeah. I went to Krause Elementary School when I was little. And anyways, so we'll just use that for this analogy, okay? At one point I was little. It moved on very quickly. So let's say you're driving in there, right? And you see this young, it's first day of school, and this young student, this kindergarten student, is getting picked on by some older kids, some older students, fourth graders, okay? You got some fourth graders and they're little bullies and they come over and they're like, we're gonna beat you, you know, and you're driving by and you see this little baby kindergartner's first day at school getting thrown on the ground, okay? In that moment, okay, what's rising up inside everyone? Something needs to happen to stop this, right? This is not okay. We need to intervene. It would be very unloving to not intervene in that situation and just keep on driving on, right? We're just going to be passive and not do anything about it. Let's just drive, you know? Hopefully somebody else will catch it. And on the flip side, it's very unloving to the fourth grader to just kind of watch that and not give any kind of instruction or any correction and just say, yeah, just do whatever you want type thing. And so in the same way, it's like our God is a just God. Okay? And sin wars against his nature and wars against the things of God. And so there's a price to be paid for that. But praise God for Jesus who took the punishment for us, man. And as we begin to move in toward Good Friday and we get closer to Easter, to Resurrection Sunday, that we would focus on that, we would remember that, we would remember these moments leading up. We wouldn't just let it be kind of just, you know, in the back of our minds and just move on and, you know, let's celebrate resurrection. We're going to have a great party at the Simon Theater and we're going to have a great time. We're going to celebrate the resurrection. But I want to encourage you. You know, one of the things, I'll just be honest with you. When I see like, you know, big like church events, like it's a big party on Good Friday, it kind of makes me kind of go, eh. You know, it's like, let's kind of let the moment be the weight that's necessary. Like, sometimes it's good to feel uncomfortable. Sometimes it's good to be reminded, like, this is what Jesus went through. And to not just kind of like gloss over it and like, you know, snow cones and bounce houses on Good Friday and let's have a party. It's like, no, wait, let's reflect and remember, like, what Jesus did for us on the cross. And then Easter Sunday, let's party and let's celebrate the resurrection, right? But I think that it's so imperative, it's so important that you and I, like, we let ourselves experience during this time, like, the weightiness of what that carries. And so I want to encourage you guys to join in on Friday. It's going to be at 8:00. Again, it'll be on YouTube, but we're going to post the link in loop. So if you haven't subscribed to that YouTube channel, you can go do that. That way you know when it's going to go live. But we're going to take communion together wherever you're at. It's going to be online only. And so you don't have to have, you know, juice and crackers. You can, you know, it's not so much about the elements as what it means. Of course, if you want to, you know, get juice and crackers, of course, you know, you do that and be prepared to take the communion with us. But just to be a part of that, join in with your church family on this Good Friday and let's come together and wherever we're at and like join in together. And it's, I look forward to it each and every year. My, I talked about this a little bit last week, is my kids, they love, you know, they love us doing, we do a little traditional Passover meal, and then we go into the Good Friday time and service with the church family and join in life for that. So, but I think it's so healthy for us to do that and to remember and reflect on it. So I want to encourage you guys to do that. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. We're going to get ready to be dismissed here today. I just want to say this. Maybe there's people here today who you're carrying a burden or a weight, or you're going through something right now that is just so much pressure and so much weight on you. And I just want you to know that Jesus knows what that's like. And I want to pray for you. I just want to ask that the Holy Spirit would minister to you right now. So, Father God, I just lift up this church body, each and every person who's here this morning, Lord. And I ask that, you know, God, you know exactly what they're going through. I don't know everything everyone's dealing with, but or all the situations and all the unique circumstances. But God, you know exactly what everyone is dealing with here today. You know all of the anxious thoughts. You know all of the pressure and the weight that they're carrying. And so I just ask right now, Holy Spirit, that you would just, in this moment, right here and right now, you just meet them and you would minister to their spirit and let them know you're a close God. Close. And no matter his kids, a God who has good plans for his children. And no matter where we're at now, you know, like Noah, who he had to go through the storm, but God protected him in it. That we would know that sometimes we go through it. Sometimes we go through the storm, but God, you're a good God who's near to us. And that we would step in the ark, Lord, and we'd be safe, we'd be protected. Maybe you're here today and you just need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And maybe that's the first step for you to take. Say, I need Jesus. I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Maybe, you know, years ago you prayed a prayer or you had a moment and you're just like, you know what? I've gotten so far from God. Like I don't know if it was real. I don't know if it was authentic then. And what I believed and what I prayed or if I was or where I was, but I'm feeling a nudge to, I need to accept Jesus. And I would just tell you today, I believe that's the Holy Spirit is prompting you right now to say, I need to take that step. That there'd be no ego, no distractions, no, you know, nothing keeping you from taking that step here today. And so if you want to accept Jesus, we say, Jesus, you drank the cup for me so that I wouldn't have to. If you want to accept Christ, would you just lift your hand up right now? Just stick your hand up. I see your hand. Amen. Anybody else? I see your hand back there too. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else say, I want to accept Jesus today? No one looking around. This is a decision between you and the Lord. Nobody else. Anybody else want to accept Jesus? I see your hand. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, church, would you pray this out loud with me? Everybody included. And let's pray this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short. Today is a new day. I believe you died on the cross, Jesus. And 3 days later, you rose again to eternal life. I repent of my sins. I turn from my old ways. And I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Would you look up at me and just put your hands together and give God praise in here? Amen. I saw three hands go up in here today, and that's just incredible. And let that never become old. Let that never become old. That is the greatest miracle that we could ever receive is that God saves us, man. And that's just incredible. The greatest decision you could ever make. And so if you raised your hand today, I just want to tell you, we'd love to talk to you. I'll be outside. Pastor Arthur will be over here to the side as well. And we'd also love to give you a Bible. If you don't have one, we'd love to put one in your hand. We've got some beautiful ESV Bibles out there that we'd love to give away. Or maybe you're here and you're just like, I just need a Bible. You know, I've accepted Jesus, but I just need a new Bible. We'd love to give you one and put one in your hand and as you leave here today. And then here coming up very soon in the near future, we'll be talking about specific dates here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have water baptisms. And we'll do them outside like we've traditionally done right out here. And so be on the lookout for that. And if you've accepted Jesus, man, that's the next step. I know we've got some students and some kids who want to get baptized right now. So praise God for that. So that's always an exciting day. So we'll be announcing that here soon as well on the specific dates. We're looking to do that. So if that's something you're interested in, or parents, if your kids have been interested in, come talk to us and let us know so that we can get some of the details to you and get that worked out. All right, would you go and stand to your feet with me this morning, and we'll get ready to be dismissed. All right, Father God, thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for this church body, each and every person who's here today, Lord. I just ask that we'd take your word with us outside of this building, Lord. We'd apply it to our lives and we'd live this thing out for you, Jesus. God, I thank you that you keep us protected. And I just pray a continued hedge of protection around each and every person who's here today, that you'd go before them, each and every place that they go, Father. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for today. It's in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, church. Love you guys. Y'all have a great week. We'll see you at the Simon Theater next week, 10:30.
Thanks for listening today. To stay connected, visit us online at velocityburnham.org and follow us on Instagram. And if you're ever in the Burnham area, we'd love to have you visit us on a weekend. Thanks again, and we hope to see you soon.